Welcome to the podcast, Chris Graham. Let's talk Virginia football here on this podcast. It's spring practice time. I know that there's actually spring football going on with FCS, a couple of our local teams, VMI and JMU, very much in the mix for playoff bursts in FCS. With big games this weekend, JMU hosting Richmond, VMI hosting the Citadel in rivalry games. Wins by both, JMU's I'm sure already guaranteed, at least in that large berth. A win guarantees the CAA title for them. A win for VMI guarantees a Southern Conference title for the Keydets. And they will be playing playoff games next weekend. 16-team playoffs this year in FCS. So there's that kind of spring football going on, the rare kind. It's not XFL. It's actual games, actual college football games that count going on. Well, FBS is in the throes of their spring practice schedule, at least the later arrivers, Virginia among those. Bronco Mendenhall loves to do his spring as late as possible to, he said, allow for his guys to have the full winter and early spring for conditioning so that they're in the best shape they can be in and get ready to go for the summer. We're in week three now of spring camp for Virginia. We get a chance a couple times a week to catch up with position group by position group. And in the most recent week, we caught up with the cornerbacks and the quarterbacks. Have to be very specific when I say that, corner and quarter. Let's talk quarterbacks first on this podcast. We'll talk cornerbacks later. Quarterbacks, QBs. Brennan Armstrong will be coming back for a second season as QB1 at Virginia. And I bet you didn't know that his numbers in 2020 were actually better than his predecessor, Bryce Perkins, when Bryce led Virginia to the Orange Bowl in 2019. And I'm not crazy. The first all-encompassing passer efficiency number is your first indication. Armstrong in 2020, his passer efficiency number was 138.9, Perkins a 134.2 in 2019. The counting numbers now. Perkins, I mean, this is 14 games, so the numbers are going to look a lot bigger, but you got to factor in the 14 games thing. 3,538 yards, 22 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Armstrong played 8.5 games. He got knocked out in the second quarter of the NC State game, missed the Wake game last year, the schedule was only a 10-game schedule last year. 8.5 games, 2,117 yards, 18 TDs, 11 INTs. Per game, Perkins averaged 252.7, Armstrong 249.1 in terms of yards per game. Armstrong had the edge in TDs per game, 2.1 to 1.6. Perkins had the edge in interceptions, lesser number of interceptions, 0.9 to 1.3. Rushing, though, so those numbers are close, a slight advantage for Armstrong just because of maybe it's a wash because Perkins a couple more yards per game, less interceptions, but Armstrong more touchdowns per game. All right, but rushing is where it really gets interesting because you assume, gosh, Bryce Perkins, he was so dynamic. 769 yards, 11 TDs in 2019, 54.9 yards, 0.8 TDs per game. Armstrong in 2020, 552 yards, 5 TDs, 64.9 yards, and 0.6 TDs per game. 10 more yards game rushing for Armstrong. You didn't assume that was going to be the case going into the season. You didn't probably even think it during the season. But put up big numbers. More total offense for Armstrong, 314.0 to 307.6. More TDs overall per game when you add the rushing and passing. 2.7 to 2.5. Better numbers, and the good thing is Armstrong is actually back for a year two. He can be back for a year three as well with the pandemic year, and he's a redshirt junior this year. The focus for Armstrong and quarterbacks coach Jason Beck is the one area that stood out early and late last year, the turnovers. Armstrong threw two interceptions in each of his first three starts, the win over Duke in the opener, the losses to Clemson and NC State. And then he had two in the late loss, the regular season finale loss to Virginia Tech. So four games with two interceptions. You gotta work on that. And Armstrong said it, those things will kill you. He realizes he put the defense in bad positions. You know, not only do you lose possession, but often turnovers lead to great field position for the opposing offense. They're double whammies in that effect. He's talked about being smarter with the ball and Beck, he attributed, and Armstrong to a degree did too, that the early season issues at least were the oddness of the pandemic year. You know, Virginia did not get spring practice last year because Bronco loves having spring practice later. A lot of schools actually had their spring practice last season and then went into pandemic mode. Virginia didn't even get spring practice. In a normal year like this year, you have spring practice, then you have summer drills. You know, the guys organize their own drills. The position groups will. The receivers and quarterbacks work together. which is really important, especially for quarterbacks and receivers, because it's the ability to get, you know, build that rapport. You know, here your receivers learn, you know, how you throw the different passes. You know how you throw your slants, how you throw your fades, your back shoulder throws and that kind of thing, and you just build timing. They didn't have any of that last year. You had training camp in July and August, and even that was different for Virginia, definitely for all the other schools. So you know, the Armstrong getting in, he'd had some action his first couple of seasons, but limited. You know, a couple drives here and there, and then all of a sudden you're thrown in as a starting quarterback without a lot of work leading into that. You know, you got a spring, you got a summer. It's year four from the program too. You got to remember, a redshirt junior, and also Armstrong enrolled early, and he actually had a spring as a true freshman. So that's a lot of time to have learned the scheme from Robert Anaya, the offensive coordinator, and he now has a year of game reps to build from. He has a year of tape to look at and kind of learn from what he did well and what he didn't do so well. Beck said he expects to see, you know, Armstrong take a step forward with everything this year across the board, more efficient play, being able to hit more big plays. And you can tell there was an answer Armstrong gave to a question from a reporter on a Zoom last week about where I think he is in terms of development. You know, it's not just when you watch a game, you assume, oh yeah, these kids, they know everything already. You know, first year quarterback, is still learning the speed of the game and a lot of things. He was asked about his approach to execution. He said the play call determines a lot of things. Down in distance determines a lot of things. I think just having those thoughts run through my head consistently every single play, with down and distance, play call, when to use my feet, when to scramble to make a play down the field, with a receiver in a scramble drill, just consistency with that stuff. That's the important thing. I think just what's going to come together, it'll just start clicking. These are all key things. You know, it's not just as simple as, taking the snap and running the play. We often, you know, fans just assume that it's a passing play and it was designed to go to this one guy. You know, the checkdowns, you know, you have your number one receiver, your primary, you have your second and third, maybe the back out of the backfield. Do you run? Do you make it look like you're running, as he said, just to scramble and have his receivers and break off their routes and do what they're supposed to do on those scramble drills? That's got to be going through your mind at full speed with 280-pound guys chasing you. And you know, that's something that comes with repetition. And Armstrong has the repetition now. So look forward to I would expect building on a great year in year two. And I'm calling it a great year. I know the team was 5-5 last year, but those numbers, it was not the offense's fault. We'll talk more about the defense coming up in the second half of this podcast. Also got a chance to catch up with Ira Armstead last week. We talked about Keaton Thompson recently in a podcast. Armstead, the other slash, if you want to say, true freshman quarterback last year, got to play in four games before getting injured. And he was used, like Keaton Thompson, in different positions at Wildcat quarterback, at the three wide receiver positions. He said he hadn't played wide receiver since high school, his freshman year of high school, excuse me. But the versatility shown by Armstead as a true freshman. Now, Thompson is, you know, last year was effectively a fourth-year college player. And we talk with him about, you know, the difficulties in learning how to play different positions on the fly. At least he had the 3 years plus of college experience backing him up there. Armstead came straight out of high school and then was used by Robert Anaya in an interesting hybrid offense. Armstead said, hey, it was fun. It was just like backyard football, just like being in a schoolyard, playing around all you want. You want to play quarterback this drive, next drive you want to play wide receiver, whatever. And he said it was really important that he had Keaton Thompson there to work with and learn from. Thompson was going through it in a baptism by fire as well, but again, he had the experience. They kind of worked with each other and learned from each other a bit too. And you know, just the fact that the 6'3", 210-pound Armstead was able to get in games, the 6'4", 225-pound Thompson able to get in games. This year should be interesting. When you talk about the Virginia offense, you've got Armstrong coming back with the great numbers he put up last year. And then you've got this, you know, I'm just going to use the word innovative again. That's the only thing I can say, that the offense that was put together by Robert and I, you know, remember that it was a offense of necessity that he built. Armstrong, after he got hurt in that NC State game, was going to miss at least one game. It turns out it was just the one game, the Wake Forest game. And God love Lindell Stone. Lindell Stone was a guy that was hung around the UVA program by all accounts, the coaching staff, his position coach, offensive coordinator, Coach Mendenhall. They all love him in terms of his knowledge of the game, but just maybe not physically quite an ACC quarterback. And so you go into that Wake Forest game, and Robert and I devised a plan to basically try to build a quarterback using three guys that could approximate what Armstrong can do as one guy, a mobile quarterback who's got a great arm. Well, Stone could at least throw the ball well enough, and he could hit the targets, but not a great runner. So he used Thompson and Armstead in Wildcats snaps to get some running game going at the quarterback position. And then it worked so well that even when Armstrong came back the following week for the Miami game, and I realized, hey, we got to use this again. This is working. And you saw that happen throughout the season. Well, Armstead got hurt in that Miami game. But in the Wake game, 13 snaps, he completed a pass. He lined up a wide receiver on a couple of snaps. And then also 6 carries on the ground, 46 yards. Following week, the Miami game, 4 carries, 22 yards before he got hurt. Now, for all three involved, I'm going to say all three, Robert Anai, the offensive coordinator, and then your two slashes, Armstead and Thompson. Again, Anai devised this on the fly last year and was building upon it on the fly. He's had an offseason now. He's had a chance to look at tapes. He's had a chance to see how defenses reacted, different defensive reactions to his guys, and how he was using them last year. And also then to just, scheme up more things in terms of, different ways to use the guys, different situations. It would surprise me. I was saying this to a friend on the phone the other night. It would surprise me if you didn't see the majority of snaps taken by the Virginia offense this coming year, 2021, involve Armstrong at quarterback, and then one or the other, and sometimes both, of Armstead and Thompson being on the field at the same time, lining up either in the backfield alongside or in a slot or, X, Y, or Z, basically wide receiver, just to get defenses thinking, hey, what are they going to do here? Are they going to maybe – is it going to be a straight-up offensive play? Is it going to be maybe a halfback option, if you want to call it a halfback option, if Armstead gets the pitch and decides to throw it? Are they going to do a reverse where the guy who gets it throws it? Are they going to line up in Wildcat straight up with maybe Armstrong lined up in a receiver position, and then Thompson or Armstead, who both have the ability to throw the ball and throw it well, dropping back at quarterback? There's a lot of things to think about if you have one or both those guys on the field along with Armstrong. So it would surprise me immensely if you don't see that be the case next year for UVA. And it's fun. I'll admit, I think it's a lot of fun that this is something we can look forward to. What's not fun is thinking about the secondary. Last year's secondary was, I think, and I'm not alone, Bronco Mendenhall, in his pre-spring practice remarks to us a couple weeks ago, said the same thing. He thought a couple of games that were winnable were left on the field, and it was big plays given up by the secondary that were the culprit. I'll give you some numbers here. The good news, which is not really good news in one sense, but is, I'm going to tell you why it is eventually. The Virginia secondary returns players who accounted for 83.9% of the snaps in the secondary in 2020. Secondary, I'm defining this, your two corners, your two safeties. You bring back Nick Grant. You bring back Devontae Cross at corner, also Darius Bratton at corner, and then Joey Blunt at safety. Basically, you lose D'Angelo Amos, who's attempting to launch a pro career. Largely, he's the guy you lose in terms of the major number of snaps. But you bring back 83.9% of your snaps. So that should be good news, but maybe isn't in one sense. And the reason it might not be is because Virginia's secondary was dead last in the ACC last year in passing yards per game allowed, 304.4. Pass efficiency defense, 154.4. Those are not good numbers. And that you can tell because I emphasize them. For a frame of reference, a quarterback averaging 304.4 yards per game would have ranked second in the ACC last year. And a quarterback with a passer efficiency rating of 154.4 would have ranked third out of 15 teams, right? The second in yards and third in passer efficiency. That's what Virginia made every quarterback it faced last year look like. Didn't matter who you were. You were the second and third best quarterback in the ACC when you played Virginia last year. Think of that. Think about that. And this team still went 5-5. Bronco is trying to address the deficiency this year. He reconfigured his staff, Nick Howell, the defensive coordinator. Linebackers coach Kelly Poppinga. So Howell this year, he's the co-defensive coordinator along with Kelly Poppinga. Howell is going to oversee the defensive backfield. So he's going to sort of be, in addition to being the co-defensive coordinator, it's going to be his job to oversee the corners and the safeties. Shane Hunter is going to be the safeties coach this year, and Ricky Brumfield is going to coach the cornerbacks. So, it's interesting. You know, you kind of have a different layer there of answerability. When you look at, I did this. Bronco made a point to talk about the two games that were winnable a year ago that Virginia lost because of big plays. I went through every defensive snap in 2020. It didn't take as long as I thought it would, but I went through every one of the 716 defensive snaps in 2020 to look for pass completions of 20 or more yards. 51 pass completions of 20 or more yards. Now, I'm admitting I have not gone through everybody in the ACC's play-by-play. That would take a while. It took me about an hour probably to do the 716 snaps, but multiply that by 15. But 51 pass completions of 20 more yards from among 323 pass attempts last year accounted for 1,775 yards, 58.3% of the pass yards surrendered last season. So 51, I think the number of overall pass completions was something like 201. So 1/4 of the completions, 1/6 of the attempts accounted for 58% of the yards. And then when you look at all 716 defensive snaps, 40.1% of the total yards allowed by Virginia came on those 51 20-plus yard pass completions. 40% of the yards came on 7% of the snaps. Those are interesting numbers. So it stands to reason if you fix that, you might have yourself that stout defense you had in 2018. In 2018 numbers, so let's do a comparison here. I'll reiterate the 2020 numbers and 2018 numbers. 304.4 yards per game 2018 or 2020. 2018, 183.0. 100. That's 121 yards different. That's 60% of the output in 2018 versus 2020. 107.6 pass efficiency rate. 154.4 pass efficiency rate. So that 2018 team, you put that 2018 defense with a 2020 offense, and that team's 8-2, and they're playing in a good bowl. Capacity's there. Darius Bratton might be a key guy here. He's been injured a lot the last couple of years. Ricky Brumfield, the new cornerbacks coach, he's the special teams coach as well. He thinks Darius Bratton might be the CB1. He might be your shutdown corner this year. He allowed, his 2018 season, his one season where he was healthy, he registered a 74.5 Pro Football Focus grade. That's borderline NFL guy. 12 pass completions, 26 targets, 219 pass cover snaps, NFL passer rating of 68.8. NFL passer scale is much different than the college scale, so don't get too excited about that. But 68.8 is still really good. A great NFL quarterback, not great, a top-level NFL quarterback, top 10 NFL quarterbacks around 90. So 68.8 is a journeyman quarterback. So Bratton in 2018 made quarterbacks throwing at him like journeyman quarterbacks in the NFL. Healthy Bratton, and Brumfield says what he's seen so far in camp. Bratton looks like he's a shutdown corner. Devontae Cross is back, a Pro Football Focus grade of 49.5 last year. And Nick Grant's back. These guys and Joey Blunt all coming back for an extra year of eligibility. They were seniors last year, but the extra year of eligibility granted by the NCAA for the COVID year. Grant's Pro Football Focus grade last year, 63.7. You get these guys healthy, you get some emphasis on technique. They're all talking about, cutting down the big plays. They're all talking about, the focus on that. It's just a matter now of getting it fixed. And, the staff issues fixed. The emphasis fixed. This is something that, again, if Virginia can get fixed, this defense, you got depth back at defensive line, the return of Mandy Alonzo, Adi Batariwa, losing the name of the young man who opted out last year, but he's back this year. You've got some, losing names here now. Gosh, I got to quickly get up the roster here. Aaron Famui is the guy that I was, that's the first guy that I was missing. Aaron Famui is back. He opted out last year on the defensive line, and important to have him back this year. Then really quickly getting to linebacker, you know, you're certainly going to be missing Charles Snowden and Zane Zandier, but when you can bring back Nick Jackson, an important middle linebacker, he's going to be a guy who's going to be really essential for this team. I'm struggling here. Noah Taylor was the guy I was struggling for. Noah Taylor is a guy that we talked about on a podcast recently as a 6'5", 225 pound guy who can cover like a safety, who can rush quarterback like a, like anybody else out there. And once again, man, my brain is not working very well today. Chris Slade, there we go. I had the initial CS in my head and I just couldn't, you know, Chris Slade, a guy who I had classes with when I was EVA. He can cover like a safety. He can rush quarterbacks like Chris Slade. Taylor is a guy who can, you have to game plan around, scheme around, so there's enough to me, there's enough returning depth at linebacker, certainly depth on the defensive line, that if this secondary can get itself fixed, like I need to get my head fixed. this defense can be like that 2018, first half of 2019 defense. You know, the injuries decimated that defense in the second half of 2019, and the offense carried that team to the Orange Bowl. I'm cautiously optimistic, but I'm losing the caution. I'm getting optimistic about 2021 for UVA football. We'll have more this week. This week, the position groups, if I can give you a quick preview, if I can push buttons quick enough here. The position groups this week include, let's see. No, I didn't save that email. So we'll have to, but we're working our way through. We have one more week of spring practice for UVA, and then we'll go off into the summer. But we'll have two more sets of updates this week with the different position groups, one offensive position group, one defensive position group, coming up this week. I would imagine that we're still due. Let's see. We're due the offensive line and running back still on the offensive side. And on the defensive side, we're due defensive line and probably inside linebacker. So the way I'm just trying to guess the way that Virginia, and also maybe safeties. I don't think we've talked to the safeties yet that I think I can remember. So we're due some guys. We're due some guys in the next couple of weeks. Maybe tight ends. We'll be working on the offensive side. I don't know if they're that specific as far as that goes. Special teams probably as well. We'll talk to Brumfield again about that too. So we're due some things, right? We're due some things. Kicking game will be a question for the UVA team as well. So anyway, that's all coming up this week, next week, next couple of weeks from UVA football perspective. Man, I gotta get my head clear here. Too much podcasting today. I've recorded 3 podcasts here in the last hour. Maybe that's part of it. Gotta stop talking and get to work here. So, hey, thanks for joining us here on the podcast. And if you're listening to these kind of sequentially, a lot of folks I hear from sort of do save them up and listen to them. You may have already listened to our basketball podcast that we did, our early week basketball podcast. This football podcast, and then we'll follow up. We've got Rod Mullins coming up talking NASCAR. That's coming up later in the week. We did a COVID vaccination podcast earlier for non-sports folks, or if you want to cross over with us, we probably have a couple politics ones coming up as well, local and state level politics coming up. So a lot of good stuff coming up from AFP on the podcast front this week. Thank you for joining us on this one and whatever others you may choose. We really appreciate your patronage. Go to AugustaFreePress.com for the latest news, both on the mobile site and on the desktop site. Check us out. Thank you for your time. Great to talk with you, and have a great week.